Good morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 19th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt Community Services District head honcho, Dave Hall.
Morning, Brian.
He's wearing his Humboldt State lumberjack shirt.
I am. You bet.
So he's a head honcho.
Lumberjack day, yeah.
He's not a general
manager.
A lot
of people don't know that March 19th is Lumberjack Day.
Lumberjack Day.
Yeah.
Do you sing the song?
Not anymore.
I just thought I'd check in there, make sure I wasn't overlooking something. Let's see if we can find...
They'll cut a corner off my alumni card if I sing it.
So. Now, I got a choo-choo train.
Oh, cool.
Why do we say that? And then I've got one that's a normal one.
Well, let's go with the train one.
All right. Why is a person riding a railroad train and paying no fare called a deadhead?
Because they listen to Jerry Garcia?
Oh. The term comes from the theater. Theater. So does the lumberjack song.
Yeah.
A person admitted without having to pay any admission is called a deadhead because he can't be counted when the revenue is figured, since the dead can't reach into their pockets to pay. The term is less appropriate when applied to railroad travel. Every corpse must have a ticket to ride a train. It must also have a live companion riding with it or pay double fare. A little train trivia there for you, Mr. Train.
Yeah, dude. I know, exactly.
Yeah. So we've had this thing called rain.
Yes.
And a lot of new potholes all over town. Doesn't matter what town you're in. All over town. Not that you're a hydrologist.
Or fix potholes. But
you kind of understand this thing about water a little bit. What's going on? Is it just the saturation level in the soils? Or is
this
failed?
Yeah, it really is.
Things?
You know, we had a couple weeks ago, we had at least two days, maybe 3 days of record-breaking rain for those dates. And... we had, issues with, our sewer system, as did everybody else. And, it soaks into those the cracks that are in the road. Or there's a lot of the roads, we've talked about these before, on, I think it's on I Street.
Pick up Park.
You get, you get groundwater that's right under those streets too. That comes out a lot.
Yeah,
the people notice that. Yeah. They say, "Gee whiz, that's it must have a water leak," and it's not. Well, you get that much rain, that much saturation, it just pushes right up.
Now you've got covered creeks also, and old drainages that got filled in.
Right, in the old days.
Also, are those contributing factors?
Well, sort of globally, yes. But when they've designed the road and the fill to go over those, or the culverts to go underneath them, then they should have taken all that into account. So it shouldn't be much of a problem.
Yeah, but in the 30s and 40s, there wasn't too much of that.
Exactly right. We did a project with the county over on Union and C.
Funny how I went there too in my head. Yeah.
and they got down a ways, and there was all the original road on that piece of C Avenue was what they call a corduroy road, which is just they just lay logs next to each other and throw dirt over them. And that proved to be exciting for the people trying to put pipes in, because they didn't know they were there, and that took a lot more time to go cut out the logs so they could get down to where they needed to put
the pipes
in.
These probably weren't branches though.
But yeah, and that went actually, in the day, and actually it still is, it went across basically a marsh is where this corduroy road is. And then, years later, the county actually paved it and whatever. And so for this water project, they actually put in this giant culvert. It had some little culverts to kind of connect the two marshes that are still there. And they actually put in a real huge culvert so that critters could go. The idea was not only water could freely move between those things without impacting the road, but the critters could move back and forth too without getting up on the road.
During the dry season.
Yeah. Well, they could swim,
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like a water park for a raccoon.
Yeah. Whee! Yeah, that's like the Geico pig.
Yeah.
Whee!
There you go. You can hear that if you go out at C Avenue late at night.
Now, are there any other areas that might have corduroy roads? Around the Eureka area are surprise events?
Well, it's like you said, there's a lot of historic drainages that have been filled in a long time ago, and you got to expect that pretty much anywhere that those are left, they're going to be there's going to be probably some remnants of those kind of things down there, because back in the day they had lumber, they had logs, and they just filled in these creeks with whatever they had so they could get from A to B and continue their development or their logging. So
good stuff.
Yeah.
So with some of the areas that are fill, there's just decaying debris, I guess, would be the easiest way. Probably not too many old cars stuffed in there, but...
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's an old Hudson up here on Walnut, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Or a newer model Mustang.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Perhaps, or parts, yeah. Some of the areas that you guys run pipe, you know if it's on fill, you know if it's native soil. If it's not native, do you bother to go looking, or is that just kind of wait and see and put it on a map and maybe, you know, color it in with a highlighter and deal with it down the road?
Most of the work that we do at Humboldt Community Services District is replacing water lines and sewer lines that are actually already there. They're just old or they need to be replaced. You know, we've talked about the steel water lines that used to be in vogue, you know, 60, 70 years ago, and they have gotten to a point where they leak pretty good, and so we've replaced steel water lines all over the district. You get those in, so we don't do a lot of soil analysis when we're replacing things, but we do if we're putting in a new line somewhere. For example, the Martin Slough Interceptor project, we've talked about that for years. We're still building pieces of that. We've actually got one going this summer. We're hopeful we're going to get to put in about 1,600 feet of a new thing to reverse the flow and save electricity and put in better pipe and all the rest of this kind of stuff. We did do soil stuff there because that's a brand new place in a new area.
No truth to the rumor that the Raiders have signed Martin.
I can't tell you that.
It's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with General Manager Dave Hull.
At your service.
From the Water District.
You are a customer, by the way, so, you know.
Yeah, half of me is.
Half of you is. Yeah. The other half's a city customer.
Yeah, so you don't pay any attention to that half of it. Which is the good-looking half.
Yeah. Wait a minute, which one's the good-looking half?
Take your pick. It doesn't... Yeah. It's not like one is significantly better than the other. As we consider some of the different challenges, Dave, that are out there with the roads and maintenance, you guys have got a lot of stuff underneath. And with some of the attention that Last Chance has got and a number of other areas also, Bell Springs, outside of your jurisdiction, as you start to see the pavement shift, move, change, are those red warning flags for you to kind of go, you know, what the...
Yes, they are.
And kind of look at it? Yeah.
Yes, they are. We've talked 6 months or so ago that we had a district-wide leak detection effort that went on. So we did all 114 miles of our over 2 years of our water system to acoustically look for water leaks. There's a place up close to, those of you familiar, up off of, it's on Walnut, but it's kind of around the Blackberry, where Blackberry comes in, so it's past our office a little bit. That's a nice little beginning of a sinkhole in the going south lane. I was certain that was probably a water leak under there because we have a water line that goes right under there. The leak detection guys couldn't really find anything. They thought maybe kind of it was right on the fringe, so our guys went out there and looked, and it wasn't. So what it is probably back to what you were saying last segment, is there's probably some of the fill that's there. There's some old stump or that old Hudson or something that's down there that's slowly deteriorating. And at some point, the county's going to have to add more pavement to the top.
Oh, the Last Chance grade solution.
Exactly.
I get you, yeah. I wonder if Tom's...
There may already be 6 feet.
Tom might respond to that one. With some of the radar and LIDAR that's now available, are you guys able to... use that technology, or is that so expensive that you really can't get somebody up above and fly over and take a look-see?
Well, you know, that's it's an interesting thing. For new projects, it's a great tool. We don't use it because we don't actually have that many new projects all the time. Although I got to tell you, as a little sidebar here, we do what we call a main extension agreement. When somebody's building a new subdivision, they put in the facilities and whatever, and at some point when the subdivision's done, they pay us money and we actually accept the project, so that main becomes a part of the district's main, but not till the subdivision's
done. Oh, it's like a transfer?
Yeah. And so when we go through the main extension agreement, something like, you know, having the aerial kind of stuff would be really interesting to look at. But we don't do that very much.
Routine.
We never got to the place of actually pulling the trigger on doing it, but we did think, looking at the top of our water tanks. You know, we have one water tank that's, you know, 52 feet tall. Some of them are, you know, in the 40s and things like this, that it might not be a bad idea to get a drone. And so we just stand on the ground and fly the drone up, and it looks at the top to see if there's any corrosion or if it needs to be repainted. Yeah, just as a, do we need to do some maintenance without actually having to have somebody climb all the way up there?
It would probably be easier than to have, like, the Coasties fly a helicopter over and take a look-see.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, kind of discourage that. They're helpful when they can, but, you know, it's they oftentimes are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
So. Yeah, the real stuff? Yeah. I would suspect that would be something that a lot of places are going to start looking at, incorporating. I'm thinking some of the large radio towers down in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
You can have somebody climb it at gazillion dollars an hour, or somebody who knows what they're doing.
Just fly this thing up and looks at the condition, and if there's an issue, then you send somebody out. But if there's not, then yeah. No, yep. And it's gone so far as kind of mainstreaming using a drone in these things is our insurance pool actually has special stuff for using a drone over things in case it runs into power lines or it runs into somebody's car.
Oh, like
or
a special like rider or a line item in the.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
I guess technology is happening.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff, though. No, and I wish we could had a use for LIDAR because that's awesome.
Or somebody in the neighborhood that would be able to do it.
The only time that I've ever used LIDAR is we did some LIDAR work when I was at the Harbor District over the bay and around the surrounding parts of the bay. That was when it was pretty new. It was probably 12 years ago or something. It's cool stuff.
Cutting edge technology. I think of that when I think of you, bud. Well, are there some of the technological advancements that the water district is able to take advantage of?
Well,
or services district, before you pop me on it.
Okay. No, I wasn't going to do that this time. So we some of the technology we're looking at is on the water meter side of things. So it's not as far as, you know, like the PG&E smart meter kind of a thing, but it is something that we don't have to, you know, send somebody to wander around the neighborhood and open the lids and, you know, record a number manually. We could just sort of drive by and it takes the number. We've actually, there's another program I'll talk to you about after the break.
It's 8:30.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull, General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Dave, before the break, you were saying that there are some technologies that are available, maybe not as cool as the drone and some of that kind of stuff.
I know,
that the district is able to take advantage of, either for cost containment or information retrieval.
Right.
What are some of those opportunities that are out there?
Well, the ones we were talking about, just to cap off the water meter thing, there's actually we actually collect it. It can collect data, so we can actually graph out consumption and things like that. And in fact, on our on our water bills now, there's a little graph that shows your consumption over the month, which is and we can go in and get some more information out of that. One thing I was going to mention is there's actually a private company that's making some water meters. They're not really meters. They're more of a kind of a recorder sort of a thing, and I can't remember what the name of it is, but he actually kind of rubber band these things onto your water meter yourself, and you as a homeowner can look and see, is my water running now or is it not running now? You can get it off of Wi-Fi, and it's like, you know, it's only like a couple minutes delayed. So if you think somebody's stealing water from your place, you can go back and download the thing off, you know, Wi-Fi, just sitting in the comfort of your home, and you can look at this thing and say, well, I know nothing was, I wasn't there during this date, and here's water going out. So you can look at it.
Like maybe an ag application.
Yeah.
You know, you got four or five different areas where you've got cattle grazing or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got your own little fountain going on.
Yeah, exactly.
There because, you know, maybe
somebody
stepped
on something or it froze or whatever. Exactly right. And that's what these things are going to be good for, I think. And so it's pretty cool technology. They're not very accurate, but they are accurate as far as saying the water was running at X time. Our water meter is still the ruling meter. That's the one that's got the authority over it. But it is an interesting data set. If, just like you said, you have some of the houses, you know, that are in our district out like Freshwater Way or something, water line's a long ways from where the meter is to your house. So there could be leaks in there. If you have a big irrigation system, ag use, you know, there's places where there could be leaks. So this is a neat little tool. We've actually, though, because the water meter, and this is the same for everybody around, the water meter actually belongs to the agency. You're not supposed to tamper with it at all. In fact, there's big fines if you go and turn it off yourself, or if you bust it, or if you something to it. Yeah.
If I got a leak in the backyard, I'm not supposed to take the fancy thing that I bought and turn it off.
Not in the meter box. You've got a shut off probably up by your house.
Oh, yeah. So but if that, it's in between the two.
If it's in between the two, then yeah. If we have to shut if the meter needs to be shut off at sort of the source, let's say,
right,
then the district needs to do it, or the city needs to do it, or something like that. So putting a rubber band with this other thing on there, you know, that's no good. So we actually have a short little permit process so that we know who's doing it, when they're doing it, and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll go out there and help them, you know, look at it, put it in, whatever, just to make sure that everything's okay.
KINS, News and Information Time. Holy Toledo. It's 8:40. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hall. Got a little excited, took the break early, so we have a little bit longer run on this one. With some of the leaks that we did see, or water percolating up through the asphalt, what is the abnormal, what is the normal? What do you guys want to have, or wherever the jurisdiction is, when do they want to have the phone call?
Really, if anybody suspects anything, is what we want to know. Because, it you know, they don't get better. A leak will always get worse. And, you know, if it's a substantial one, you see water in the street that's coming out of something, it's better to, you know, call and say, hey, I see something, let us check it out. Even though it may be groundwater and we've known about it forever and it always comes out in that place, it's still better that that you call and let us know about that than all of a sudden we have a sinkhole in a road somewhere. So
same things with the gutters. You know, if it starts flowing out into the roadway,
right,
maybe a clogged drain or something really basic like that.
Usually that's what it is, right?
Is that, I would always try to scoop the drain first. And if it goes gurgle, gurgle, and disappears, then fine, who cares?
If it's a little one in your neighborhood, you know, it's just a little drop inlet there, then that's probably an okay thing to do. And it's, you know, that's what I do in my neighborhood. We have a place that collects a lot of redwood duff, and it ends up
all the needles and stuff.
But I got to caution you, if it's something more, if it's on a main street or something, you really shouldn't. You should call the county or the city or whatever to come like do it, because you don't know where
bottom of Booner Hill, say.
Yeah, yeah.
For those in the Eureka area, you know what I'm talking about. For everybody else, it's probably, about 200 feet on either side. Mm-hmm. And it's down to the bottom, and there's a creek there, and it always will kind of flood across, but there's always leaves and that yep. kind of stuff at the bottom there. You know, I've kind of cleaned it off a couple of times, and it kind of seems to alleviate it a little bit. Shouldn't do that?
It would be better to exercise caution with that. I think if you're very familiar with the area, like in your neighborhood, or like this one, you know this one, then that's probably okay to think about doing that. But it really... Any of the other ones, I mean, they can be pretty dangerous. You know, a lot of them are big holes. The grates could be gone. They could be something else stuck in there. You know, if the water's high enough, you don't know exactly where it is. You know, I've been out plenty of times where you're just sort of poking around saying it's in here somewhere. But you got to be careful, because they could be pretty dangerous. And once you pull the plug out or you get it flowing, it goes pretty fast usually. So it's better to let somebody do it that's a professional, and they've got the tools, and they know where the drains are and where they go. So,
just let them know.
Yes.
Now, it's not a 911 call, though, is it?
No. Nope. You call County Public Works or call our office, HCSD's office, City Public Works.
The front door number.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you want to get to the Public Works folks if you can. I mean, you can do it just by calling the front door number. And they'll route the call. But if you can, I mean, on the same page in the phone book as the, if anybody uses the phone book anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same place as the Public Works number. So you get a little closer to home.
Yeah, I know. I made that reference last week. And it's like, I got some funny looks. It's, well, you know, the one
but
I
But see,
have.
At least I recognize
from 1997.
It.
I mean, yeah. It still works for most of it. Oh, gee. So what are some of the things that we should be looking for? I mean, I keep hearing references made, Rush and Shapiro and the California water drought.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, how far underwater does it have to be? And everybody's kind of coming from the same perspective that you and I have talked about, that the inertia for the bureaucraticness of this thing is in place. And if they stop and say no drought, then they pretty much shoot themselves in the foot for those that want to have this done. And with a certain governor in place, he's not inclined to back away from anything like that. Is that pretty much the profile?
Yes.
Thanks.
It's just as we've talked before. If they say it's over, well, what they've done is they've moved into Governor Brown's, make conservation a way of life sort of thing, which I think most Californians, certainly the folks up here, do anyway. But that was the fancy title he put on this batch of legislation. So whether there's a drought or not, they through the drought, they use this power to exercise all these things to set up all a bunch of rules that are going to be coming down the pike here. I think starting in 2020 and then on through, and they're all kinds of things. And ultimately, they may end up being, you know, you only get 50 gallons a day a person at your house. And if it's more than that, then, you know, I don't know. Fines,
Do dogs count?
Cut off, maybe. Depends how much they look like you.
Wouldn't want to put the animal rights folks against the water people.
Animals need water, too,
That's right.
Exactly right. So,
that's starting at the end of this year. We're going to start seeing some of that.
Yeah, they're working on some stuff. And as we've talked before, Governor Newsom now has picked up Jerry Brown's torch on the water tax. And so he's jumped right into, rather than make it a bill, make it a budget trailer bill. So he's rolling on that.
So it'll be kind of interesting to see how things percolate in that arena. It seems kind of goofy, though, to me that you know, 150% of snowpack,
yeah,
and it's still drought.
Well,
now I know it gets in the aquifers and all the other kind of stuff.
And we've talked about. You know, we make fun of it because a lot of it is just ludicrous and it's self-serving and whatever they do. But, you know, California, especially Southern California, you know, it's a climate down there that is relatively dry. And so you continually stuff more people in there. There's more demand. You need to look for other sources or conservation. And so it's not a bad idea to take this approach. No,
but it's a shame that they wrap the goofy approach. Stuff into the valid stuff instead of just having, guys, this is what we can all agree on. And that makes sense. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Instead of all the other.
Exactly. There's a lot of superfluous, you know, just big government stuff that goes with these things all the time anyway. You know, everybody wants to help. Everybody wants to you know, not overuse the resources. Everybody gets it that if we're out of water, you know, we've not done it right. But, you know, there's a limit to how much reporting you can do and how many staff you need to.
Has there been any movement at all, Dave, in the last couple of seconds here for any kind of dams or capture facilities or anything like that? Or is that still off the table?
Well, of course, we don't need anything like that. We're all good over here. Over in the Sacramento Valley, though, there's the Sites Reservoir that's been on the books for 40 years or something. It was supposed to be a part of this Proposition 1 that was passed several years ago. They haven't built any dams with it, I don't think, with it. They've funded a lot of watershed restoration projects, stuff like that. But I've heard that it is moving along. It's kind of dialed in. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, you've never built a dam, that give you something to do.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.